I'm so glad to be here tonight. I'm glad my family's with me as well. I was thinking as I was sitting here how much I appreciate a lot of things about this place. I appreciate the songs of this place. Amen? Amen. I appreciate the saints in this place. Somebody say amen right there. That's you. I appreciate the scripture in this place. And I appreciate your senior pastor in this place. Amen? Amen. And most of all, I appreciate the fact that you lift up the Savior in this place. Thank the Lord for that. Christmas is a wonderful time of year, one of my favorite times of year. But I don't know about you, Brother Carter, but after you pastor a while and you've pastored much longer than I, it's kind of hard to find new Christmas jokes. So I just tell our people at our church, look, I'm going to tell my favorite Christmas jokes. So I'm going to tell you my favorite Christmas jokes and stories right now, okay? One of the ones I found that I like over the years is the top 10 reasons hurricane season is like Christmas. Number 10, you decorate your house with plywood. The top 10 reasons hurricane season is like Christmas. Number 9, you drag out boxes that haven't been used since last season. Number 8, last minute shopping in crowded stores. Number 7, regular TV shows preempted for special reports. Number 6, family coming to stay with you. Number 5, family and friends from out of state calling you. Number 4, the fourth reason why hurricane season is like Christmas. Number 4, buying food you don't normally buy and in very large quantities. Number 3, days off from work. Number 2, candles. And the number 1 reason hurricane season is like Christmas, at some point, you're probably going to have a tree in your house. Somebody say amen right there. I love this one. I know you've heard it, but it's one of my favorite ones about the little boy, of course, who was thinking about his life and thinking about the year he had and began to write a letter to God. And it started out, "Dear Jesus, I want you to know this year I was such a good boy." And he started thinking a minute. He looked up at the fireplace and there was the nativity scene. And he started to get a little convicted. He took the note, he crumpled it up, and he threw it in the fire. And he sat down and started again, "Dear Jesus, you know I've been such a all right boy this year." He got thinking about it a moment or two and took that note, got convicted again, crumpled it up, threw it in the fire. And as he left the fire scene, he grabbed the figurine Mary and he began to write a new letter. "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again," that's my favorite one. Let's all stand together, take God's word with me, turn with me to the gospel according to Luke tonight. And I'm sure you've heard those before, but these are some of my favorite stories. Sometimes as a preacher, you pray about and you always pray about what to preach, especially when you're at another church, another man's pulpit. And what I was going to preach on tonight, God gave me a great confirmation with the first song we sang tonight. But the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, very familiar, you hear it probably not only this month, but of course Christmas isn't just a one-time event. Somebody say amen. Christmas is something we should celebrate all year long. I tell folks, Resurrection Sunday, we don't celebrate at Seagate Baptist Church just one Sunday. We celebrate it every Sunday of the year. Somebody say amen right there. And Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished." Oh, I love that phrase. God always accomplishes everything, amen? "That she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now even go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And I love this part. And they came with haste. They didn't delay. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I want to preach on this subject tonight, and the first song we sang was the first Noel. And the message tonight is this: Noel. Noel. Would you say that word with me, everybody? Noel. Now, we sing about Noel, we shout Noel, we send greeting cards with Noel on it, we even say Noel, but do we really know what Noel means? Now, Noel is not found, the word, in your King James Bible, but the thumbprints or the fingerprints of Noel are all over the Christmas story, and tonight I want to talk to you about the first Noel, or what Noel means tonight. Father, would you bless us? Hide us behind the cross. Give liberty, give unction tonight to preach the word of God. Father, would you help us in a very special way as we preach this message tonight? May it be a blessing to this, thy people. If there's anybody here tonight and lost, I pray they'd hear the gospel tonight and be saved. And for those of us who are saved and who do know you tonight as our Savior, encourage us in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. So, Noel, what does Noel mean? Number one. Noel means a birth or a birthday. It means a birth or a birthday. I think about Noel. I think about all through the scripture. I think about his birth. I think about how his birth was prophesied back in Micah chapter number 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. You know, there's 120 prophecies that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ first coming. And over 120 that were fulfilled. Somebody say amen right there. I love this little thought. You've probably heard this, but in his book, Science Speak, Peter Stoner applies modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies, just 8 of them. He said the chance that anybody would be able to fulfill 8 prophecies would be 1 in 10th in the 10th to the 17th. That would be 100 quadrillion. Stoner suggests if you take that number, 100 quadrillion, and you were to have silver dollars, they would cover the whole state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now, how many realize Texas is a pretty big state? If you were to take one silver dollar and mark one red X on it and place it in that pile somewhere, that would be quite a feat just to find that. But Stoner says the probability of fulfilling 8 of those prophecies is like taking those silver dollars, laying them 2 feet deep all over the state of Texas, marking one of them with an X, and then mixing them all up. And then taking somebody and blindfolding them and having them just walk blindly through the state of Texas, stopping when they wanted to stop, bend down and pick up that silver dollar and finding the one with an X. That's the probability of just 8 prophecies being fulfilled. But I want you to know all the prophecies were fulfilled. Somebody say amen right there. Why? Because with our God tonight, nothing is impossible. His birth was no ordinary birth. His birth was a supernatural birth. I don't care what the History Channel says. I don't care what friends and family might say. I only care what the Word of God says. And by the way, the Bible says he would be born of a virgin. Somebody say amen right there. And he would be in Bethlehem, and that's where he was. Why? Because we serve a mighty God tonight. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Not only do we see the prophecies of his birth, when you think about the word Noel meaning birth, but I think of the problem surrounding the birth of Christ. Here's a couple, Mary and Joseph. She was expecting. She was in her last trimester. They were 90 miles from Bethlehem. They had several problems that I see in the scripture. Number one, they have a travel problem. In those days, they didn't have planes, and they didn't have trains, they didn't have automobiles, they had camels, and they had donkeys, and they traveled by foot. They had a travel problem in those days. Now, how many understand something when you travel with maybe a wife, or you travel with 3 daughters like yourself? If you have a 1-hour or 2-hour trip, sometimes that might be turned into a 3-hour trip because people have to stop and use the restroom, amen? All the men said amen. Now, here's what I learned. I drive a lot, and my wife, 99.9% of the time, I drive. And 99.9% of the time, I've got an agenda. We've got a time we want to be there. And basically, Dad says, go to the restroom now because we're not stopping for anything. So one of those times we're driving, and my wife says to me, honey, would you please stop? Would you please stop? I've got to use the restroom. And I gave the famous line, Brother Carter, 5 minutes, we'll stop. Now, how many of you know in men speak, 5 minutes when you're traveling really means 30 minutes? So 30 minutes pass by, and my wife says, finally, honey, can you please stop? 5 minutes, we'll stop, right? Anyways, I remember one of these times we were traveling. We were traveling along. I got a little tired, and I did the brave thing. I had my wife drive. She's a great driver. And got in the car. She began to drive, and we're about 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour in the trip. I said, "Honey, I really have to use the bathroom. Would you please stop?" You know what she said to me? 5 minutes, honey. They had a travel problem. Not only did they have a travel problem, they had a temperature problem. I mean, weather in the wintertime in those days could be in the 30s. Not only that, they had a terrain problem. They had hills and they had mountains, and roads were not paved like we have today. They even have a theft problem. There's many times travelers were robbed and left for dead. I mean, there's no way, humbly speaking, they were going to make it to Bethlehem, not now or ever. But listen, this wasn't a human mission they were on. This was a God mission they were on, amen? Not only that, but the worst thing they had was a tax problem. How many of you like to pay taxes? Nobody. They had a tax problem as well. Listen, they had a lot of problems surrounding this birth. But then I see something else. Not only do I see the prophecy concerning this birth, the problems concerning this birth, but I see the power of God surrounding this birth. You know, only God can take a problem and transform it into a blessing. Somebody say amen right there. Sometimes problems turn out to be the way God uses things in our life to get us to where we need to be. Some of you right this tonight might be facing some type of problem. Christmas time is a time of joy. It's a time of hope. It's a time of love. It's a time of laughter. But it's also a time of pain. It's also a time of hurt. It's also a time sometimes of problems. Listen, just because you're having problems doesn't mean our God is not still alive. Just because you're having problems doesn't mean that God can't break through. His methods are not our methods. He is God. He is Lord. That means He is in charge, and He has a plan even when we don't have a plan tonight. Listen, sometimes God uses people, and sometimes God uses a path, and sometimes God uses problems to get us where we need to be, where we never expected we could be. Somebody say amen right there. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, here was the problem. Caesar Augustus said, "Tax time." Joseph said, "Maybe I don't have the money. It's a 90-mile trip. You're expecting you're in your last trimester. How in the world are we going to do this?" But what Joseph didn't understand was that God was moving in those problems, in those circumstances, in those difficulties to get him where he needed to be in Bethlehem so that Christ would be born, so prophecy would be fulfilled from Micah. Listen, God used those problems in Joseph's and Mary's life to get him right where he wanted him so he could get all the glory and he could get all the honor and all the praise. Listen, I don't know about you. Look here. Please, you might have problems in your life tonight, but maybe God is going to use those problems to get you exactly where you need to be. God knows your name. God knows where you are. God knows your circumstances. God knows your needs tonight. God knows what you're going through. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. Somebody say amen right there, or the lack of them. Somebody say amen right there. But anyways, I want you to know tonight, God knows where you are tonight. And with God, all things are possible, church. Somebody ought to say amen right there. It's a birth. Noel not only means a birth, but Noel means an announcement. An announcement. An announcement. Listen, all the Old Testament is his story. See, the prophets prophesied the news. The angels proclaimed the news. The shepherds shared the news. The wise men sought the news. Mary and Joseph held the news. And we today, we investigate the news. How many realize there's no accidents with God? I got thinking about the Christmas season. We just got done having a tremendous big live nativity in our city, and God blessed it in a wonderful way, and I praise his holy name for that. And we have, of course, we have a stable that we have there. We have a manger there. We have a baby wrapped in clothes, like swaddling clothes there. And I got thinking about that picture, how beautiful that scene is that we have. But I thought about, what if the innkeeper had room? What if he had room? Now, I know we get on the innkeeper and we preach messages about, you know, make room for Jesus. And those are great messages. And I preach the same thing and I believe that. But what if really the innkeeper had room? What visual, I mean, can you imagine we set up a hotel room for the nativity with a bed and a couch? Come on, really? Listen, God not only gave a verbal announcement in that day, but God gave a visual announcement in that day. Think about that, a verbal announcement by the angels, but there's a visual picture here as well, church. Think about this. Think about the stable, if you would. To me, this is a picture of the world. It's an animal stall. It's more likely a cave. Let me tell you about that stall. It was dark. It was damp. It was dirty. It was filthy. It was rotten. Animal feces was everywhere. Think about it. Think about this world. Is not this world dark? Come on, talk to me, church. Is not this world damp and dirty and filthy and rotten? Is not this world cursed? Is not this world broken? Is not this world in terrible shape tonight? See, not only was it a verbal announcement, but it was a visual announcement. Do you see it tonight? Not only do I see the stable when I look at the nativity and we think about it, but I think of the manger. Now, if you think about the manger tonight, this is to me is a picture of man's heart. The stable's a picture of the world, but the manger's a picture of man's heart. A manger is nothing more than an animal trough, a place where animals feed out of, a place where they would take food for the animals. And by the way, think about the food they would place and what they would place in the manger in those days. In mangers today, and when they feed animals, they give them food that was crushed, broken, divided, dead. Everything placed in that trough wasn't alive. In that manger wasn't alive. It was all death. It was all dead. What life was now, what life used to be, was now being devoured. This is a picture of man's heart without Christ. When man sinned in the Bible, death passed upon all men. Our spiritual man died in Adam. And we, our hearts are like that manger, and we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But then, of course, we know that the baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes. So the manger pictures here, if you please, man's heart. And the stable pictures, if you mind, as we look at this visual picture, it pictures the world. But the swaddling clothes picture why he came. We sang the song tonight, born to die. Swaddling clothes, you know this, if you've been in this church, and I know the teaching of Pastor Carter, swaddling clothes were death clothes. They were rags or cloths they would use to wrap people who died. Many times they would carry their swaddling clothes with them just in case along the journey somebody died. But I got news for you tonight. That stable that is dark and dingy and grim. Think about it. That manger that is a picture of death. That swaddling clothes that pictured why Christ came. Here's the thing tonight. Jesus Christ, when he entered into this world, when he entered into that stable, when he entered into that manger, when he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes, he changed everything. The stable was a picture of the world, dark and dirty and filthy and stinks. But when Jesus came into that stable, there's hope. And when Jesus came in that stable, there's life. And when Jesus came in that stable, there's forgiveness. And when Jesus came in that stable, there's love unconditional. And when Jesus came in, there's peace. And by the way, that stable's a picture of the world. And when Christ came in this world, I want to know, he changed everything. Yeah. Think about the manger. When Christ comes into a man's life, he passes from death to life. What was meant for death now has life. In Christ, he gave us his robes of righteousness. We exchanged that with him so that we might be saved. Christ is the highest form of God and the ultimate form of man. In him is all the fullness of Godhead dwells bodily. Yet he took upon him the form of a servant and he spoke the universe in existence. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was the light of the world, yet he hung in darkness for us. He's a fountain of life, yet he cried on the cross, I thirst. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, yet he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was the Ancient of Days, yet one day he became a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Why did he do this? So that you and I might be saved. You and I might be born again. Listen, this is the Noel. This is the announcement of Christmas. This is why the angel said that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So Noel means birth. Noel means announcement. But this is my favorite. I love it. Noel means all is well. Say that with me, church. Ready? All is well. Not like Presbyterians, like Baptists. Here we go. All is well. The old spelling for Noel in the English is N-O-W-E-L-L. We English speakers, we love to abbreviate everything. For example, the word goodbye really was kind of shortened down from God be with you. The word farewell was shortened down from fare thee well. And in the old English, Noel, N-O-W-E-L-L, was shortened down to N-O-E-L. What is this Noel? Why are all things well? Why do we sing the first Noel? Why do we say Noel? Why do we shout Noel? Because he came. Because he lived. Because he loved. Because he gave. Because he died. Because he was buried. Because he rose again. And because he's saved, listen, friend, why do we sing Noel? Why do we shout Noel? Why do we say Noel? Because he descended that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He who had no home and gave up his home that we might have a home in heaven. He was hungry that we might be fed. Why do we sing and say Noel? Because he was stripped that we might have clothes. And he was forsaken that we might not be forsaken. He was sad so that we might become glad. He was bound that we might go free. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He died that we might live. He came down so one day we might be caught up. Amen. This is why we say Noel. This is why we sing Noel. This is why we shout Noel. Because all is well. Because Jesus changes and fixes everything. Let me declare to you tonight who are lost, Noel. Let me declare to you tonight who are hurting, Noel. Let me declare to the broken, Noel. Let me declare to the battered, Noel. Let us declare to the bruised, Noel. Let us declare to the abandoned, Noel. Let us declare to the abused, Noel. Let us declare to the sinner, Noel. Let us declare to the sick, Noel. Let us declare to the fearful, Noel. Let us declare to those in darkness, Noel. Let us declare to the wayward one tonight, Noel. Prodigal, I declare to you tonight, Noel. Wayward one, addicted one, Noel. The one in despair, Noel. Depressed one, Noel. Those with marriage problems, Noel. Financial problems, Noel. Emotional problems, Noel. Why? Because Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was buried, he saved, and all is well in and through Christ tonight. This is why we have programs. This is why we have nativities. This is why we print gospel tracts. This is why we decorate. This is why we preach. This is why we do all we do. Why? Because he came down over 2,000 years ago. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. This is why we shout it. This is why we sing it. This is why we say it. Because we want everybody to know that Jesus saves and all can be well in and through the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. By the way, you might be here tonight and you're saved and you're born again and you know Christ is your Savior. I say, praise the Lord. Can I declare to you tonight who are saved, all is well. Have you forgotten all is well? Have you forgotten all is well in and through Christ? Have you given up? Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped trusting? You say, Pastor, you don't realize what I'm going through. And I say, you've forgotten who he is. You've forgotten why he came. He came for you. He loves you. He knows where you're at tonight. I want to declare to you, Noel, all is well in and through Christ. Trust Christ. Live for Christ. Worship Christ. Adore Christ. Serve Christ. Love him with all your heart. Love him with all your mind. Love him with all your soul. Turn from those sins in your life. Turn back to Christ. Love him like you should. Trust him like you should. Because in him and through him, all is well tonight. Noel, Noel, Noel tonight. So I want to declare to you, church, tonight, Noel. He came. He's born. I want to declare to you tonight that God can take things that seem ugly, like a stable, and like a manger, and like swaddling clothes. And I want you to know when Jesus steps into those things, he can take what's ugly and make it beautiful. And the Lord Jesus can step into your situation and take what seems ugly and confused and a mess, and he can make all things well and beautiful. Amen. And I want to declare to you tonight, church, that in and through Christ, Noel, all is well and all can be well as we trust him and we love him like we should. So as we go through this Christmas season, this is why we sing the first Noel. This is why we put on our greeting cards, Noel. This is why we say Noel. Because Christ is the great Noel of Christmas. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness tonight. Lord, I hope I've been an encouragement. That's my heart tonight, to encourage people. God, to know that you're working in our lives. People are struggling, maybe even tonight at this moment. I pray you help us. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. Thank you for this opportunity tonight that we've had to share your word. Help me, Lord, to trust you like I should. Lord, Noel, all is well in and through Christ. Thank you for this reminder tonight. In the name of Jesus.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. What an encouraging scriptural admonition tonight. If you know Christ, all is well. I don't think you'll hear the song and not remember some of what was said tonight. Tremendous message on his thought. Is it all well with you tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Whatever in your life right now is giving you trouble, it's still going to be all well in him. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to give us a verse of invitation. Might be a good time for you to come to the altar and say, Lord, I thank you that all is well because of Christ. Forgive me for whining. Forgive me for criticizing this, that, and the other. Let me count my blessings this season. Instead of wanting something I don't have, why don't I look around and see what I do have? And count how good you've been to me already. Oh, that's a great message. All is well in Christ. Whole world needs to be reminded of what the preacher preached tonight. Countless people will sing that song and know nothing about what it means. People will go caroling, big orchestras, singing groups will sing it but don't understand it. You and I do. I'm thankful we ought to be what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask you to be seated in the congregation and share a little bit with you here. Kim, I'm going to just ask you to come stand with me rather than trying to say your whole name. I'm going to guess at it. Can I guess at it? Will you forgive me if I get it wrong?
Yes, sir.
All right. Kim Lung?
Yes, sir.
Is that close?
It's close enough.
Now the last one. The last one's a tougher one. Morian?
Morian.
Yeah, say it.
Kim Lien Nguyen.
That's what I was trying to say. Anyway, she's, of course, been here with us, but she's needing to be baptized and came forward for baptism. So we're going to have her baptized tonight. So we'll have a motion to receive her for baptism. All right. And then we have Seif Jean. Did I get that right? Self? Seif? Whatever. Come stand with me here. He's been saved. So we praise the Lord for that. Now, Brother Jesse's going to talk with him, counsel him some on about following the Lord in baptism, so he won't get baptized tonight. But we praise the Lord that he got saved. Do we have a motion to receive him as a candidate for baptism? Show of hands and so carried. All right, we're going to let you be seated back right over there. And Kim, you got to go right around the corner, and there'll be some ladies there to help you get ready for baptism tonight. So praise the Lord. Night when our attendance is down pretty bad, we had a tremendous sermon, and somebody getting baptized and somebody getting saved. So I believe that was worth coming to church for, don't you think so? Amen. All right, Brother Bert, come on and lead us in something, please.
Okay, 551, since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin. Amen, 551.
saved, saved. Here we go. Since the Savior found me, pardoned all my sin, I have had the joy and living hope within. Gone is all the shame and sorrow of the past. They're underneath the precious blood of Christ at last. Saved, 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 I'm happy on the way. Saved, 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 I'm stay. Saved, 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 I know he's mine each hour. He keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Since the Savior found me, all to him I owe. For his precious blood has washed me white as snow. Now no condemnation, happy as can be. I'm glad that Jesus justifies and sets me free. Save, 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 I'm happy on the way. Save, 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 I love him more each day. Save, 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 I know he's mine each hour. He saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. Since the Savior found me, I have perfect rest, living in the rooms of joy and happiness, leaning on my Savior, looking for that day. He shall come to catch his waiting bride away. Save, 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 I'm happy on the way. Save, 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 I love him more each day. Save, 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 I know he's mine each hour. Saves and keeps and sanctifies me by his power. And right on to the next one. Right on to the next one. Showers of blessing we need. There shall be showers of blessing. Okay, we'll just go ahead and stop. We'll save that one for next time too.
Christ is your Lord and Savior. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, amen. All right, let's stand. Let's have Seif back here, Jesse. Bring him back up here and let folks shake hands with him. He probably got saved, and the angels of heaven rejoice over that. Amen. And again, if you can get to Brother Wiggins, let him know we appreciate him coming and speaking for us tonight. Man, what a tremendous, tremendous preaching that was. And amen. Right on point with the season, too. How many of you think when you hear the song again, you'll think about it a little different, huh? I think we will. All of us will. Brother Wiggins, we appreciate you being with us so very much. And appreciate the family sharing you with us tonight. Amen. All right. God